You're listening to the sermon audio from Vertical Church Triad, a vertical church in Jamestown, North Carolina. For more info on our service times and location, visit us at www.verticalchurchtriad.org. You are loved.
Amen. What a blessing it is to finally be at Vertical Church, man. As he said, we've known each other for a while in Vertical Church Triad. Through our ministry that we do together, your pastor, Pastor Matt, as he said, on our assessment team, one of those people that helps us to prepare new church planters as we get started. And so he's just a blessing to me. Love that guy. Love what he's doing in your midst and what he's doing across the state here in North Carolina. So as he said, I'm the SEND Network Director for North Carolina, what we call SEND NC. And what we do is we come alongside of sending churches and their church planters. We overview who we are with our mission, which we say in our mission that we are a movement of churches on mission together, planting churches everywhere for everyone. That's a pretty good mission statement, amen? And that's what we do together, and your pastor is a part of that. So, man, again, such a blessing to finally be with you guys here today. Just a little about me. I've been married to my wife, Keena, not with me this morning, but Keena and I have been married for 34 years. We have two children, Madison, who was married to Kendall in June 3rd. Just this year, just a few, a month and a half or so ago. And then my son is Matt. He's getting married to Erica on September 23rd. So, man, we're moving them all out the house this year, you know, and just a new place of life for us. As you heard Pastor Matt say, Keena and I had the opportunity to plant Vertical Church Lumberton, which launched February 6th of 2011. When we planted Vertical, we had a mindset that churches plant churches. We were going to be a church planting church. Before we were even having services, we were talking to our core team about the churches that we were going to plant. We planted our second Vertical church in March of 2013. So 25 months later, we planted our third Vertical church in August of 2015, about 2 years after that second one. And since that point, Vertical has partnered with 12 new churches over the past decade. So God has been incredibly good to us, amen? And love what he's doing all over our state, all over our nation, across the world. I want to give you four words that I want to start this morning with. And those four words that I'm going to give to you will actually come back to at the end of today's message. But these four words they're just all over this message that I feel led to bring to you this morning. Those four words are this. The first one is begin. Second is seek. The third word is come. And that fourth word is rest. Begin, seek, come, rest. When Pastor Matt asked me to come and to speak today, he told me that you were in a series entitled Life Verses. And I was excited because he was like, man, whatever. I mean, your life verse. And I was excited to be able to do that. Like when he asked me, I was like, can I share this verse? He's like, absolutely. If that's your life verse, you know. So I was like, absolutely. And, you know, I'm excited to share this with you because there's hardly a week that goes by that I myself don't have to practice this. But to be honest with you, there's hardly a week that goes by that I don't share this verse with somebody else. And so, you know, this is one that God has just implanted and just like burned into my heart. Probably because I have to remember it over and over and over again. Whatever you read the Bible in, whether you have your copy of God's Word or your iPad, your phone, whatever, go ahead and set your phones or your whatever it is, Matthew chapter 11. And we're gonna look at verses 28 through 30. Let me pray for us real quick. God, as we open up your word, we're grateful for the word of God. As I was coming here this morning and talking to you, I was just reminded of how grateful I am for this book and the way that you have used it to shape, change, and impact my life. And God, as we open up God's word today, as we open up the word of God to your people, and not just the people that are in this room, but those that may see it online and to the ends of the earth. God, we pray that the word of God would do what only the word of God could do. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God would do what the Spirit of God can only do. God, open hearts and ears, Lord. Help us to hear what the Spirit says to us today. May our hearts be open and fertile to the word of God, that it might be planted deeply within us. God, change our lives. Change us today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Can I get a great big vertical church amen this morning? Amen. Here we go. So Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and we're not going to read the whole thing because I'm going to read a little bit and preach a little bit, if that's okay, because that's just kind of how I do it. Matthew 11, 28, it starts like this. You're probably familiar with this verse, but Jesus says, so important, he says, come to me. Everybody say, come to me. Come to me. Yeah, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. In the version I read, you know, said the one I learned it in, heavy laden. Anybody with me on some heavy laden? You know, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened and heavy laden or overwhelmed, whatever it is. But Jesus says, come to me. He says, he makes this awesome promise. He says, you see it up there on the screen or in your Bibles. He says, and I will give you what? What does he say? I will give you? I'll give you rest. That sound good to anybody? Anybody need some rest, some Jesus rest here this morning? You know, if there's anything that I've learned in over 25 years of gospel ministry, it's that people do not naturally practice this verse. Like when we find ourselves in a scenario, when we find ourselves in need for whatever reason, whatever it is that we're going through, I don't know why it is, but Jesus often is not the first place that they turn to. It's not the first place that they turn when you have a situation. And Jesus says in this verse, he says, when you are weary, come, right? When you are burdened, come. Other translations, like I said, burdened, come. Overwhelmed, come. But it often seems when people need Jesus the most, they don't come, they run. We don't go. I mean, and listen, there's a lot of reasons, I know. I mean, some don't come because they don't even know how. They don't know how to come to Jesus. I mean, some people don't even realize that they're supposed to come in those moments. And so some don't come because they don't know how. That's why I'm here today. It's why I'm so grateful. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for giving me the opportunity to open up this word this morning. Some don't know that they're supposed to. So I'm going to show you that today, and we'll look into that. Some don't come because they don't know how. Some won't come. Some won't come because Jesus has not done something that they think that he should do. Sometimes they get mad at Jesus. Well, you know, because, I mean, here's the thing, and maybe you've had this thought before about a prayer request. You're God. You can fix this. And because you could fix this and you have not fixed this, I'm not coming. I'm not praying. If you're watching online, I'm not coming to church, right? I'm not coming because I'm mad at you. I believe, but I'm mad. And so some won't come. They won't come. And you know, and then there's some people who know better, right? You got people who know better. And these are the ones who disappoint me. They know better. They need Jesus so bad in what they're going through, yet instead of coming to him and instead of running to him, they run from him. They should run to him, but they run from him. And they find themselves in this place. And unfortunately for so many people, Jesus is the last place that we turn. You ever heard somebody talk to you about a scenario that they're going through and they'll make a comment like this, guess all I could do now is pray. As if that's like, oh, I don't know, man. Oh, I guess all we can do now is pray. Instead of prayer being the first reaction, oftentimes it's like, well, I don't even know what to do now. I guess we just We just pray in this place. And man, I'm all about praying, but maybe praying a little bit earlier. You know, hey, listen, sometimes we turn to ourselves and we think that, well, I just got to work this out. Sometimes we look for sympathizers. We get on social media and we go on a rant about what's going on. And you know, we're just looking for people to make us feel better about what we're going through. Hey, sometimes we don't turn anywhere. Sometimes we turn inward. Come on, somebody, anybody in the house? We turn inward and we don't want to talk to anybody about it, including God. And you know, the truth is sometimes I get disappointed in Christians who are running from God. But then I'm reminded that I'm guilty of this as well. Maybe you guys are too. Jesus is saying to all of us, he says, you know, run to me, not from me. He's saying if you're weary, if you're tired, if you're burdened, if you are overwhelmed, listen, if you don't know what to do next, run to me, Jesus says. Don't run from me, right? Look at the next verse, verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Yoke, you guys probably looked at this before. It's a farming term. We'll hit that in a minute. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn. Everybody say learn. We're going to come back to that too. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Humble in heart is what it says on there, right? But that's the way I learned it. He says, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, through the years, as I've read this over and over and over and over again, I taught it over and over and over again. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I have taught this incorrectly in the past. Not like huge theologically incorrect, but just the intention of what the Lord is saying in this. You know, I've taught it that, man, you got to come to Jesus, because what he's saying is if whatever you're going through, he wants to carry your stuff for you, right? You probably heard people say before, well, I don't know what to do now. I've just given it all to Jesus, as if like I'm done. I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to give it to Jesus and let him handle it. And listen, I'm all about giving it to Jesus, but we have to understand that there's still some follow through that we need to do, right? We can't just give it to Jesus and remove our hands from it in such a way that we don't do it. I mean, you still got to pay that bill. Come on, somebody, right? I don't know what to do about this. I ain't got the money. I guess Jesus is just going to have to handle it. Let's see how long that works for you, right? Right? I mean, you still got to complete that project. Hey, like you got a medical issue. I've just given it all. Like you still got to do the medical treatment, right? Hey, you still need to repair that relationship. And we look at this. So the teaching here is not come to Jesus and he's going to take away all of our problems. And by the way, and don't get discouraged if maybe that's kind of the way you've always read that. Because what Jesus wants to do is actually a million times better in the wholeness of the picture of your life. Like, let me show you what he's saying. Look at verse 29. You know, he says, take my yoke upon you. And let's just stop right there. So like I said earlier, farming term. How many of you know what a yoke is? You know, it's that wooden thing, right? You've seen the old pictures where you had a couple of ox or cows or even horses or something like that. And they put the yoke around their neck, and that's how they actually pull the wagon, pull the thing in the field. What's it called? I'm old, I can't get it. Yeah, the plow, pulling the plow and all that. And so, you know, back in Jesus' day, probably would have been oxen that they were using. And, you know, and so when we look at, we'll just take an ox because that's normally what they would have been talking about when they're talking about plowing a field or something like that. The average weight of a mature ox is somewhere around 2,000 pounds. And, you know, it varies by breed. And here's the thing. So an ox actually is really, really strong. They can actually pull their weight. So if he was 2,000 pounds, we would think that that they could pull about 2,000 pounds. Now watch this. So if you have an ox that can pull 2,000 pounds and we put two oxes on the yoke, it could actually pull how many pounds? 4,000. That's what we would think, right? But that's really not what happens. What actually happens, kind of like it does in our lives, studies show that when you yoke multiple oxen together, they can actually pull 2 to 3 times their weight. So where we would think that they could actually pull 4,000 pounds, they could probably pull, two oxen could pull somewhere between 8 and 11,000 pounds together. Like being yoked together. And that's kind of a picture of what Jesus is showing us here. Jesus says to us, he says, take my yoke upon you. Whose yoke is it? Yeah, it's his, right? It's Jesus. He says, listen, come here with your stuff. Come to me. He already said, so we came. Jesus, I've got this thing that I'm praying about, or, you know, I got this issue at work, whatever. He says, listen, here's what we're going to do. Take my yoke upon you. How many harnesses would you guess are probably on that yoke between you and he? 2, right? Everybody say 2. 2 harnesses, you and him yoked up together. There's one for Jesus, and then there's one for who? For me, right? For you and for us as we go through it. And he wants us to work with us in what we're dealing with. And so I said this a minute ago, like for years, I looked at this verse incorrectly, like come to me when you're weary and I want to carry it for you. But that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying when you bring this heavy stuff to him, he's not going to carry it for you. He's going to carry it with you. You and him yoked up together on this issue, and he's going to pull alongside of you. He's not going to carry it for you. He's going to carry it with you. And I don't know about you, but I think Jesus might be a little bit stronger than me. Can I get an amen, right? And so whatever it is, whatever we're going through, Jesus is obviously doing the heavy lifting on this. And we're going to go through this, but that's not where it stops. This is where, for me, this is where it gets so good. He says, take my yoke upon you. And guys, look, and what does he say? And do what from me? Learn from me. Y'all, I've read this time after time after time, and I just kind of skipped over that learn part. I never even heard it. It's like I never read it. It was almost like it wasn't even there. All I wanted to hear was come to me and exchange yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can get rest. That's what I would hear, what I would see when I was reading this. But I never saw this. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, when you're struggling with a heavy season of life, you get ill? Anybody? You get a little bit hard to deal with. Anybody in the house? Show of hands, right? Yeah, all over the house. Like people, like when you're like really stressed out, when you're overwhelmed and all this stuff, man, you just kind of get mad. And you don't mean to be. You just kind of are, and you're there and you're dealing with whatever it is that you're going through. And you watch this. Jesus says, verse 29, as we read that, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And it's like he's saying, hey, what we're gonna put this yoke on, and we're gonna start pulling this together. And because this whole burden isn't on you anymore, I'm doing it with you. I'm gonna teach you while we're going through what we're going through. Overwhelmed vertical church friend, what might you learn from Jesus while you're walking through your situation with him? It's like he's saying, watch this. This is what the next verse. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, or lowly, is the way I learned it. I'm gentle and lowly, humble in heart. Here's Jesus. Hey, let's put this on. We're gonna pull through this together. And I'm gonna teach you how to be like me in these moments, right? I'm gonna teach you how to be gentle in stressful situations. I'm gonna teach you how to be humble when you're overwhelmed. It's like he's saying, I'm gonna teach you how to be like me. And I wonder if anyone's ever met a believer before. You ever met a believer that was going through something and you knew that they were in the midst of the just the most challenging moment of their life, and yet they amazed you with the peace that they had in that moment? Anybody ever experienced that before like I have? Like you see him and you go, oh my Lord, I came here to encourage you, and for some reason, I'm leaving here encouraged. I came here all stressed out about your scenario and your situation, and as we talked about what we were going through, like you reassured me about your situation. They have so much peace in Christ. And if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't even know they were going through what it was they were going through in this unbelievable season. Man, I believe that's one of those things that we have to learn. We have to learn how to give our stuff to him. And as we're going through, we're learning from him. Guys, I believe that it's very possible that there are many, many believers who remain in overwhelming, stressful situations longer than they need to because they refuse to learn from the Lord in the season that they're going through. They haven't learned the lesson. They haven't learned the thing of whatever it is that they're going through. And here's a question. When you fail an exam, no, let me say it. When you fail a class, what do you have to do? You got to take it over again, right? Is it possible, just asking, is it possible that the reason that we stay perennially in the same season over and over and over again is because we refuse to learn the lesson of the season? We're so stressed with what we're going through. We're overwhelmed. We're aggravated. We're mad. I mean, maybe you felt like this before. God, I have served you with everything I have. Why am I going through this? And I think that's the right question. When it becomes the wrong question is when we go, I have served you. Why am I going through this? And I refuse to listen because I don't say that in a way of saying, why am I going through this? God, show me what I need to see. I'm going, why am I going through this? In other words, I don't deserve this. I don't know about you. That doesn't sound very humble, does it? And we find ourselves in these seasons sometimes. And we, you know, so Jesus is like, hey, we're going to carry this thing together. Learn from me in this moment. And he teaches us how to react. He teaches us how to have peace. He teaches us how to not be driven by our emotions. And he's demonstrating to us as we're going through it what actually happens when we run to him instead of running from him. And watch this. When you learn this, what will happen? Next verse. He says, for I am gentle and lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Everybody say rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, he isn't saying, give it to me, I'll carry it. You ever did that when your kids were little? You know, the kids were, you were somewhere and they're, oh, I just can't do it. Come here, just give it to me, I'll carry it. Or sometimes it's them, right? Come here, I'll just carry it, right? He's saying, hey, come here. I know that life is heavy. Come be with me. I'll help you. I'm gonna help you to carry it. And I'm gonna teach you how to do this the right way. And you know what, through the years, here's the thing that I've kind of learned as I've been practicing this for a pretty long time now. And here it is. I'm gonna put it on the screen. When I stop running and start coming, something supernatural happens. When I stop like getting mad at God and getting frustrated and forgetting about him and just running and trying to do my own thing and I'm running from him instead of running into his loving arms like my heavenly father, like who he is, when I stop doing that and I start coming to him in those moments, listen, I don't care how many times we have to do it. You do it time and time again. It's not one time a day. It's as many times a day as you need to come to him. But when I stop running from him and I start coming to him, I've just noticed through the years that something supernatural happens. I had something recently. I was praying for something for my son. I mean, it wasn't like something major, but it was like a job thing. And he was like, man, I'm just tired. He's a lineman. He works out on the road. He was tired of being on the road and he wanted to come home. and there was really no pathway for him to come home, right? But man, we just took it to the Lord. Man, it was like 2 weeks, boom, he's coming home. But you know, in a more serious manner, a few years back, my daughter, Madison, was in a wayward position. She was not living for God. She was not serving the Lord. She was into some things that were totally the opposite direction of what God had for her life. And we had known this for a long time, but she had been gone for years. She's 27 years old. She had left our house when she was 21 years old. And you know, Keena, my wife and I, we discussed it. And as I said, she's been out of the home for years. But we knew that we were in a bad place, and we knew that we were powerless in fixing what was going on with her. And guys, we took it to Jesus. We took it to him. We began to pray together. And listen, here's what we said. We said, God, fix it or bring her home. That's our prayer. Fix what's going on. She doesn't have to come home to fix this. But if she's not going to fix it where she's at, bring her home that we could be a greater part of this scenario and get her there. And so we prayed. Now watch this. We never mentioned anything to her that we were praying this. We never said one word about her coming home. As a matter of fact, in her mind, we had always told our children, you might think this is crazy, but I mean, it's just kind of an insurance policy. We always said, hey, when you're gone, you're gone. Like, that's just how it's gonna be. Like if you're gonna, you know, like, don't be thinking about you gonna come home, right? We're not gonna do this in and out of thing. And, you know, I mean, I'm just really, at the end of the day, she honestly believed that coming home wasn't an option. Keenan and I were praying and we took it to the Lord. We never mentioned anything about her coming home to her, to anyone else, but we passionately took it to the Lord. In 6 weeks, she was home. In 6 weeks, she came home. She sat across from me in the living room, and she was just broken about her situation. And she had another scenario of what she was about to do. And my wife, Keena, says to her, she says, Madison, why are you going to do that? That's not going to fix what's going on with you. And this is what she said. She said, well, I can't come home. I said, whoever told you you could come home? You did, right? I was like, babe, I've been asking the Lord to bring you home so that we could deal with what we're going through. And so she did. You know, since then, she's been in recovery. For a long while now. Last, I told you, June 3rd, she married a godly young man named Kendall. She's serving God again. As a matter of fact, she's one of the worship leaders at Vertical Church Lumberton this morning. Praise God, right? She's serving God. She loves Jesus. Guys, just in case you forgot, God is good. I'll tell you something else. He's faithful. He's faithful. When I stop running from God and I start coming to God, something supernatural happens. I found that in those moments when I stop, and I remember this, I stop and I breathe. And I remember who He is. I feel it right now. He calms my heart. He says, come to me and you will find rest. If I can encourage you to do one thing with your stressful life or whatever situation or scenario that you're in, the prayer requests that you have there that are deep in your heart. Guys, I would just say this, run to Jesus, not from Jesus. Because he wants you to come home. This is the promise. Come to me when you feel this way. And he will give you rest. I told you at the beginning of the message, I shared four words. I shared the four words with you that I told you we're going to come back to at the end. Begin, seek, come, and rest. Those four words are the application. It's what I want you to take from here today. Take home and to put into action. Maybe some things that you could do tomorrow morning when you get alone with the Lord. Here's the first one. Begin. Begin your day with Him. Like every single day. Every single day. Now, some of you go, well, I'm not a morning person, so I don't do my God stuff in the morning. I do it at night. That's fine. This isn't about that. I'm saying begin your day with Him. A practice that I started years ago during a time of prayer and fasting, I just realized that sometimes I would kick off my day in the wrong way, and I asked God to begin waking me up, and I wanted to pray. Not all my prayers, but I wanted to pray for the most important things in my life before my feet even hit the floor. And so that night when I was starting this, I said, God, tomorrow morning, will you wake me up? Wake me up and remind me that I want to come to you before I do anything else. I want to come to you. And so the next morning when I woke up, the first thing was come to me. And I'm like, so, you know, I pray for my family. I pray for my ministry that day, for whatever we're doing. God, I just want to start the day right for you. You know, oftentimes things that are coming up in our lives and like heavy stuff, I'll pray for them. And I'm laying there on my pillow every single morning. Begin your day with Him. Here's the second one. Seek. Seek Him throughout your day. Like pray throughout the day. Like an ongoing conversation. You know, Paul says pray without ceasing. Sometimes people, you know, we don't mean get on our knees and pray without ceasing. There should be an ongoing conversation with God. Remember, if you're a believer, He has given you the Holy Spirit who is alive inside of you, walking with you throughout the day. You can be as in tune with that as you allow yourself to be. You got to be open. Seek Him throughout your day. Here's the third one. Come. Come to Him in the needful moments of life. When stress comes, I am going to run what? I'm going to run to Him instead of from Him. And like I said, you can do that over and over and over again as you're going through your day. Begin your day with Him. Seek Him throughout your day. Come to Him in the needful moments. And the last one is rest. Rest in Him as He comforts your soul. I'm not talking about stuff that you can do. I'm talking about like resting in Him for the things that only He can do. There are things that only He could do. That story I told you, we couldn't fix that. That was something that only God could do. There have been many times through the years where we've prayed for supernatural things to happen because they were supernatural issues. We got to quit trying to solve supernatural issues with secular solutions. Sometimes we got to run to Him. I just want to remind you of something I heard many, many years ago. God can do more in a moment than I can do in a lifetime of my greatest efforts. Comforts your soul. And I'm telling you, if you'll do those four things, this will change your life. It'll change your family. It'll change your work environment. It'll change your stress. It'll change your relationship with God. Begin, seek, come, and rest. Can everyone just bow your heads with me for just a couple of minutes as we close this time out? I want to finish this with Jesus. You need to come to Jesus, right? Not run from Jesus. It's so easy to feel like you're the only one who is struggling in this area. This room is filled with needs. I know that. It's so easy to feel like you're the only one. And so I just want to pray over you and like just lead us to some next steps here before we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to pray for everyone in this place today. Lord, thank you for bringing them. I thank you for anyone that might be watching online, wherever they are, whether it's today or later this week or in 2 years. Like God, we want to pray for everyone who is overwhelmed with life. like their life's not the way that it should be. And deep down in their gut, they know that their life is out of sorts. They recognize this morning that something has to change. They're stressed, they're angry, they're tired, they're worried, they're scared because they don't know what's next in life for them. God, help us to see as we open our hearts to you during this time of worship that step one of overcoming this type of life is to come to you, not to run from you. For some of you, maybe it's a long time hurt that you've been harboring, a bitterness that's been there. Man, I'm just telling you, run to Jesus, not from him right now. For others of you, it might be overwhelming stress, or maybe for someone here, it's a pain in your marriage. It could be something that's going on with work that you just can't solve. Hey, maybe there's somebody here who has an issue with some form of addiction. Come to him, not run from him. Maybe it's an overwhelming sin in your life. I mean, you guys know this, but I just want to remind you that Vertical Church is not a place where we come and pretend like everything is okay. That's not how we roll here, right? We don't want to just give you information about God. We want to lead you to a place of transformation by God. Like he's the only one. So as you're leaving here this morning, if you would like someone to pray with you about something that God is dealing with you, and somebody will meet you right up here at the front. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Let me ask you a question with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Are you in relationship with God? Are you in a relationship with God? Sure that sometimes maybe you'd say, well, I'm not sure, you know, I hope so, or maybe. That's literally what I said on the day that I met Jesus. The pastor asked me, I said, I hope so. And he said, would you like to know so? But let me ask it to you another way. I wonder if the God of creation, who knows you and he loves you and he gave his son for your sins, I wonder if he would say about you, yes, I am totally in relationship with them. I'm in relationship with them. They're in relationship with me. Do you think that God could say that about you and he? I want you to understand this morning, like we've sung about it all morning. We've prayed about it. Levi read a prayer over you that spoke to this. But guys, we believe that Jesus, that God sent his only son, Jesus, to point us to the Father, to die on the cross, to save us from our sins. Have you ever personally received that forgiveness? If you'd like to enter into a relationship with God by receiving Jesus this morning, I just want to give you the opportunity to do that like the pastor did for me on that fateful day, man, when he showed me how to get there. He said, you think you'd go to heaven? I said, I hope so. He said, would you like to know so? And I said, yeah, man. He led me in a prayer like this. Listen, these words I'm going to pray, they're not supernatural words. There's just something that happens when we pray this with a humble, open heart, when we surrender ourselves to God. Like there's no magic in the prayer, but it's like God does something supernatural in that moment. Pray this if you want Jesus this morning. Heavenly Father, save me from my sins. Jesus, make me new. Be the Savior of my life and be my Lord. I believe that you died for me so that I can live for you, to fill me with your Spirit so I can serve you with the rest of my life. Thank you for new life. I give you mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Listen, if you've made that, if you prayed that prayer, if you did business with God, they're going to tell you what next steps you need to take after this service is over. And we want to celebrate what God has done in your life. And I just say, Jesus, thank you for bringing us to this place of healing today and for beginning of understanding of this morning. I thank you that you've brought us to a place where hearts and lives can be healed by you and by your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody give us a big amen. Give God a hand.